go to thecognitiverampage.com. Feel free to contribute, donate, keep fueling the change, whatever it is that you guys can do to help continue to allow this to happen. None of this would happen without you and your love and your support and, of course, your contributions. Love you.
Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your cognitive rampage. My book, The Cognitive Rampage, A Scientific Approach to Self-Discovery, Change, and Life Optimization, is now available on Amazon. What I do in the book is I fuse the latest research from the cognitive, behavioral, social, environmental, and biological sciences. It's not just motivational fluff and wordplay. Now, I do talk about my own story, so there's some kind of inspiration in there, but I'm not just spinning words and hyping you up with motivational fluff. Whether you need a life change, simply enjoy self-exploration and optimization, want to discover new hidden passions, or reduce the life-altering effects of toil, anxiety, depression, all of those issues, this book is for you. This book is not a cookie-cutter method of steps to follow. You'll customize the scientific framework with your own personal beliefs to build your authentic change. That way you assimilate it faster and quicker. It's not just copying my beliefs and telling you step one, step two. These will come from your beliefs as how you extend and build the foundation upon this framework. You'll use this framework throughout your whole life, through every change, and through every age. These are not empty words of motivational spin. This book is an experience. The Cognitive Rampage is based in science and is built from your beliefs. It's a path to help you unleash your desired change. You can apply this method on your own with no harmful side effects. You can simply go to Amazon.com, search The Cognitive Rampage, and you'll find the second edition there, as well as the Kindle version as well. Welcome, 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 welcome. You all are very, very, very familiar with my guest today. He pretty much is the other host of the Cognitive Rampage, but it's been a while since my boy's been on, but Naudi Aguilar is on. Thanks for coming back on, brother. Miss you.
Thanks for having me, bro. Been a long time coming, but yeah, just freaking need a little time off, and I'm almost ready to come back, but I guess I'll come back for a little bit, make a cameo appearance or whatever you call it.
Yeah, brother. Walk me back to the day, man. The bounce, man. Because I was bounced too. I was off of social media. I was in New Smyrna Beach for my birthday and got some messages and didn't even get to see the video. And then we spoke a couple of days later. But kind of walk me through what brought you to that, you know, want to take the break. Because I kind of came back. I just took 2 weeks myself, but almost missed it too much. It was different. But walk me through your approach to it, man.
Eventually, you just realize you're living a life. We're all scared children at a certain point, man. And so what I've kind of just come to realize in my life is that I'm coming to terms with the fact that I'm a scared child, and I spend time with my parents and whatnot, and I realize I'm just kind of perpetuating behaviors that my parents had. And don't get me wrong, I was parented well, but there's also major flaws, fundamental flaws that my parents have that that I've ingrained as well. And so after a while, you begin to realize just like the byproducts of the shit, where it's just like it's this constant stress, this constant anxiety, this constant inflammation, poor digestion. My energy is fine, but it's like I feel like at certain points I'm like, am I going fucking crazy? What the hell is going on? And the issue relates back to is that I slowly began to realize that, you know, that my environment is, it's not mendable. You can't behave in a balanced fashion in an imbalanced world. And ultimately, I realized that I'm not going to balance myself in the reality that I was operating in on a regular basis. And so I had to make a change. And so since I talked to Jack Cruz, he's like, yeah, there's pretty much no ways around it. You're going to have to get the hell out of the city. And I'm like, shit, you know, so I'm pretty much right now, I'm in the process of trying to relocate my headquarters just simply because I've realized, you know, the city is probably not the best place to be at. I'm probably better off in some, again, like I had it before, like in some industrial lot, but a lot of things came up, man. A lot of things came up, but the point being is that that after a while you deal with the shit that you do, and eventually you say, okay, enough's enough. I need to make a change. I need to get the hell out of the situation that I'm in. I'm just tired of repeating the same old bullshit. I'm tired of still having the same fears, and eventually you say, you know what? I need to make a change, and I've never been connected to nature. I mean, I think intrinsically I have a connection to nature, obviously by the way I move and the way I teach people. So obviously my intent is, but I didn't realize how disconnected I was from it, mainly because of my obsessive pursuit of accomplishment and then my real big connection with technology.
I feel you, man. So you got to a point to where your head is so down into what you're doing that you still had to stop and question yourself for a moment. Go, you know, that line, am I taking care of me right now? Am I doing that? And what environment I'm?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I feel that, man. That's kind of why I took the 2 weeks myself and had a lot going on. It was just like, man, I got to step away, you know, just to see, just to kind of cloud, you know, you're getting so, and you're getting so many opinions from so many places too, that, you know, what you're trying to think about and do can get real clouded.
Absolutely. That's a big challenge in life is knowing what opinions to take action on and which ones you shouldn't take action on, because everybody's got an opinion and very few people have proper explanations for opinions. And I think that's the big thing. It's a, you know, people will tell you, you know, now he needs to do this and now he needs to do that. And then let's say I do what that person says, but then they're like, see, I told you he needed to do it. But I'm like, yeah, but then again, there's about 1,000 people that tell me I need to do things a particular way. And because they don't give an, it's like, how am I supposed to take that opinion in a valid context if I see no evidence of it working for them, or if there's no rationale or reasoning behind that approach? So it's just the challenge is, it's a big challenge is taking the necessary information from the right people. It's like, are the people given the information, have they really tested themselves in life? Have they really have they been through what you've been through, and can they really give adequate advice relative to the circumstances that you're living through? Because at the end of the day, we're all living with a particularly, how do you put it? We're all dealing with unique circumstances. So there's not really one right path for every single individual, man, because it's like not everybody can be afforded to, you know, go on retirement. Like for me, I could probably hit retirement here in the next couple of years if I wanted to, based upon how I've set up my system. And it's not that I'm going to make a whole ton of money. I just don't require I don't need a lot of money to be happy in life, man. And that's the point. That's kind of what I've really learned out of everything that I'm doing now. It's all I need is a good fire at night. All I need is some sunlight, some water, my biomechanics training, some good I need to be able to move my body well. And some food, obviously, and I have all those things taken care of. So at the end of the day, everything else is just an excess. I don't really need much else. And a big part of me got disconnected from that shit just because you get involved with society, you get involved with the social media, you get connected to the nonsense, and then it becomes a very, very challenging process trying to disconnect with it later on. So like I said, it's hard to take advice from people just simply because most people don't even know why they're taking advice or where the origins of their directions even come from, whether they come from their parents, whether that direction comes from their parents' parents or their parents' parents' parents. And, or does that come from the Roman Empire, from the Greek Empire? Does that come from does that come from the Egyptian? Where does all this shit come from? Nobody really begins to ask, where do the values that I possess come from? Do they come from people in the Amazon who are taking ayahuasca, who have a very limited of how the world works just based upon their geographical location? And are we going to start making our assumptions upon how we take on the world based upon what these people in this small plot of land are saying? It's the difficulty comes down to when it comes to taking advice is that everybody's got advice, but very few people even know where they're even organizing their decision making from. The constructs of their decision making isn't even clear. They can't even say it's clear. It doesn't come from them. So, and it can't come from them because most people don't go through enough life experience, proper life experience, to really formulate a proper decision anyway. So, yeah, it's been for me, bro, that's been a big thing because I have a lot of people around me and it's hard to say, okay, whose advice do I really take? And have people really been through what I've been through, and can they really give me advice that's going to actually help me? And from what I found, not really. So it's like I get advice from all over the place, from people who judge me, who critique me, even from friends and whatnot. And I've kind of come to realize that I need to stop listening to people. Clearly I've had a pretty good intuition in my life. And really what I've gathered for myself is that I got to stop listening to people on all levels and just be who I am, because Naudi Aguilar works.
Yeah, it's difficult to even consider what is good communication, because communication itself is so ambiguous. You know, when people talk about this person or that person has good communication skills, I kind of say, well, it matches your communication skills, so it's deemed as good. So however people communicate, it's ambiguous, it's open. And the advice is always good, I think, when it's sought out, right? I forget the phrase. Advice when it's asked for means something, but given is something else. I butchered that statement, but sometimes it can become more noise, right? It's like we already know what we want to do, or at least what we know we need to do, but we seek out advice. And what can be dangerous, right, is we seek out to the advice that really leads us to what we want to do anyway. You know, so you just make more noise, you cloud it up, and social media can do that, man. It can cloud up a vision, a goal, where you're headed to, what you want to do, and what you're supposed to do, right? What you're inclined to do, what you have to do. And man, it can really pull apart, you know, the initial chess game one may have started.
Absolutely. And that's kind of where I've just realized that everything that I've been doing with my career was in some degree or the other to connect back to nature. And it's difficult to carry your own mentality. The thing is, bro, this is my challenge in life, is that I look at people, they seem like they have a great deal of wisdom, and then you see how they live their life, and you're like, they don't have that much wisdom. If they had wisdom, they would act on it. So if I'm the kind of guy, if I learn a new form of information that I know is going to be advantageous for my life, I'm like, okay, I'm going to make a complete change right now. I have to do whatever I can to make a change. At least give it a try immediately, even if it doesn't make sense for me. So I'm going to do whatever I can to do that. So I've gotten into this. I've had this problem where, let's say, with regard to the exercise of it, let's say you look at the people who do the MoveNet stuff, the natural movement and whatnot. I've come to realize, you know, there's aspects to what they do that's relevant. Now, how much of that is going to apply to me based upon how they do things? Pretty much none of it, because these guys don't really know anything about their motives. The origins of where they get their ideas from, again, it always comes down to that, comes from subjective places. They watch comic books, or they read comic books. They watch movies. They get their ideas from these magical places that are completely disconnected from reality. And then they try developing these exercise protocols around that. Whereas for me, where did I develop my motives for wanting to exercise and move? Julius Erving, Barry Sanders, people who were actually tested with their body. And I didn't get my... Of course, I could have gotten my aspiration from Jean-Claude Van Damme when I was watching him when I was a kid. But the truth is, at some point you grow up and you realize, dude, that shit is corny. It's very corny. And what's the extent of the actual data that I can get from a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie? And so at some points, I've come to realize greatly in my life that people reach a certain age and they stop growing from that age. And most people in general, most males stop growing at age 13. Whoa. Their development stops at age 13, and it never moves beyond that specific point. Some people, most men in general, operate from that perspective. I think men and women usually go to 13 years old, their brain development stops. They start drinking beer. They start doing drugs, things that impair cortical function, and eventually they end up just repeating these patterns that are very similar to that of a 13-year-old, and they never move past that. And I find myself at age I think I moved past the age of 13 when I was maybe 27, 28. So I'm trying to move past like what I would deem as a regular human age, would past 18 at age 33. So I still feel like I'm very behind based upon all the distractions and bullshit that I get from the environment. But it's just, again, the challenge that I keep finding, that I keep seeing, is that, and it goes back to this whole thing that you were saying about taking advice. That again, most people's perspectives, like a big thing that I've had issues with as of late, is people talking about meditation and yoga. I'm finding that everybody has come from doing the CrossFit nonsense so people have went from bodybuilding to CrossFit because all the chicks wanted to do CrossFit, and then now CrossFit's not cool anymore. So now you're either going right back to bodybuilding or you're going to go into yoga. So people are starting to deviate from one direction or the other, from one direction to the other, just in relation to the system failing. And as I'm finding all these dilemmas pop up in my life, I'm just beginning to realize that it's like, for myself, as you've seen probably on the FP, on the Functional Patterns Doer page, I'm very much into depopulation now, where I think there's there's not enough space to go around. I don't think there should be that many people on this planet. And I think at this stage, as much as I wanted, I used to be kind of, I used to be hopeful for society. I used to be hopeful for humanity, thinking that we're going to figure it out. I remember many, like maybe about 10 years ago when I started really understanding what the internet was, I was like, this, the internet is a variable that we needed to figure our shit out as a species. And it turns out it wasn't the variable. It turns out that people are kind of just repeating the same cycles they always have repeated, and that they're still stuck at age 13 and they have the internet. So it's, they're nothing, they haven't really moved past where they're specifically at. So when I'm looking at the world now, Adam, the way that I'm seeing it is like, if somebody disagrees with me based upon the fact that I say CrossFit was bullshit, and I said that 7 years ago, 8 years ago, and people disagree with me, and people want to go to yoga and go destroy themselves, and people want to destroy themselves doing the bodybuilding. Essentially, where I'm at in my life right now, man, is that people need to die. So if you don't want to listen to me, good. We need space on this planet. The odds are, like, I'm in Hawaii right now. I'm chilling, and I'm going to be heading back to Washington State to go run my course and go teach a bunch of people the stuff that I do. And that's really the extent of my concerns. My concerns aren't really with the opinions of the sheep that decide to buy into the bullshit in our society. You know, like I was telling you before, many years ago, I used to think that the internet was a saving grace. Mm-hmm. I used to preach this, and it's not the saving grace. At the end of the day, it's become the exact opposite. People are more stupid now than they ever were. They're more impulsive, less rational. They take safe selfies everywhere. They got to take pictures of everything because they have that camera there. And if it's not on Instagram, then apparently it didn't happen. You see nobody anywhere really trying to experience life anymore. And eventually you begin to realize people have to die. And fortunately, these devices are programmed to kill people. If there was ever a plan to depopulate this planet, I'll tell you one thing is for certain. If it was me and I was at the top of the food chain and I was like, you know what, I want to see people die. If I'm Bill Gates talking about depopulation, and obviously he's saying it in different ways, but and he doesn't mean it in the way the conspiracy theorists mean it, obviously. But if I was Bill Gates or one of these guys at the top, I'd be like, what would be the way that you could eradicate a lot of people on the planet? Well, first and foremost, give them these cellular devices that create all sorts of imbalances, from the EMF to the light frequencies to the stress to the stress of social pressures that come through social media, to the fact that people need to run their businesses on this device. And this is a great plan for depopulation. I myself am an advocate for this. So if the government is choosing to do this, or corporations are choosing to do this, I'm like, I salute you guys. I'm at the stage right now where I'm like, I've given society a chance. I've tried to help people. You try and give people a relevant path. And Adam, after a certain point in my life, I've come to realize, just through our podcast alone, just through the conversations that you and I have had alone, that people should be turning it around. But they're not. They're not even coming close to turning it around. And the conclusions that I've come out of everything in the last few months is that people need to die. And I'm happy that they do. And I'm taking the George Carlin-esque perspective and saying that I used to think that human problems were a conditioned thing, and I still believe that there's a part of that. But I think at a certain point, you have so many generations of people that lead up to a person, and those generations lead up to your genetic dysfunctions. And I think the genetic dysfunctions that were programmed in people over the last 500 years especially are what are leading people to where they're at right now. So if in that last 500 years you didn't have anybody in your family trying to be honest about themselves, or they didn't have something in their life that really forced them to be honest about themselves, they're going to get wiped out of this next stage. And I think in the next 5-10 years we're going to see some really, really bad shit going on. The mechanical failures I'm seeing in people now are much worse than I ever saw in my life. Like, now that I'm starting to see it, I'm like, Jesus, everybody always looked like crap to me before. Maybe I'm becoming more aware of it, but from what I'm seeing now, it is not looking good. It's looking really, really bad. It's looking very, very scary right now based upon what I'm seeing, and I couldn't be happier to be separate from all this bullshit, to be honest.
Yeah, it can be scary. I was pondering the other day that, you know, the internet too, I may be in the middle of the road of it, but when it first came, I'm like, yeah, it can topple evil empires, connect people, etc. But at the same time, I was wondering, if our psyches were already built enough to be able to absorb how much negativity, how much we can really see in the world happening at once, to absorb all at once, right? We've all seen that commercial or that movie, right, where they want to brainwash the person. They just flash a bunch of television screen pictures, right? If our mind was adapted really to be able to absorb what's really fucking happening in the world, but still be lack social connection, actual physical connection, where we're socially connected to people in our lives, our community in our lives in a real genuine way. And yes, social media can connect people, the tribe, et cetera. We can connect and share information, but I would argue that, you know, if you and I were doing this interview in person in Hawaii or in this, or somewhere else, it would be a much different energy, right? Than waiting for our, the delays back and forth to be able to respond. So in essence, yeah. We don't have real social connection. If anything, we have less now because of the devices, like we say, but we are able to absorb all of the negativity and filter in what the world is actually going through. And I can see where the distractions then become the pill, right? The Sunday footballs, right? These become the pills that we need to take to numb the shit we're taking in.
Yeah. What I find is fascinating, and which I've been sucked into this as well, Adam. I mean, I'm not sitting here pointing the finger at people and calling them stupid and saying that they're dumb without looking at myself. I look at myself and I'm like, my God, I got duped into this pretty freaking bad as well. It's like what I don't think people are recognizing is that the phone breaks your dopamine circuit. And then at that point, your incessant need for external validation. What I've learned, especially from looking at Jack Cruz's work over the last few months, is that you have people, especially if you see them on the internet, they tend to be very erratic. If you look at most people and in general, especially like if you're in Seattle, if you ever go to Seattle and you start looking at people, that's not what the culture used to be like. People used to be real mellow, kicked back. That's not what the city used to be over there. And just especially over the last year, it's nothing like what I remembered it being. You look at the people and they're like this. The rhythms that they're operating in, you're just like, what the fuck is going on? And so you witness that kind of stuff, and you, at some level, you just, I lost my train of thought, Adam. I'll have you take over.
It's fascinating, the influence of a device that we create. And it, look, we can't put it past human beings that we make things that destroy us, right? We built the hydrogen bomb, right? The day we decided to create something that could end humanity, I think we crossed some sort of fucked up line, right? I mean, whether it's for war or anything else, we're the only species that would create something that could kill us all and all of our kids and continue to do so. And wherever we cross that line, and how one other device, an implementation of another device, right, that distracts us away from being human. And, you know, people even make the argument, the rational argument, that, well, it's a part of our evolution, right? That we're now evolving into something different, right? You hear a lot of the high ends talking about immortality, right? Through artificial intelligence and being able to download brains in existence, as if this is part of the evolution. But whether it's natural, but we then also are about the only species that can control how we evolve, and we can notice how we evolve. We can change to it, or we can go, wait a minute, let's not make the fucking bomb. Let's try to reconsider, right? But
let me put it this way, Adam. I think that we should pursue immortality. The problem is that we're going to kill ourselves in the midst of trying to pursue immortality. And I think right now this is eventually what we're going to accomplish. So that what I mean is, like, people need to die. Is that people need to? I've been reading this book called Sapiens over the last couple weeks, 2-3 weeks. And what I'm just really, what pretty much what this guy is emphasizing is that everything is just slow incremental change, and that people are miserable, animals are miserable in the midst of this slow incremental change. And for us to reach this next point of our existence, we have to suffer. And we're going to have to suffer greatly in order to move to this next stage in our evolution. I think at some point we'll be able to bond with nanotechnology. We'll be able to fuse with it, and it will be a good thing for us. I think we'll find ways where the frequencies that are created by these pieces of technology will not be damaging, because we will be focused on bridging the gap between technology and biology. Eventually, we will bridge that gap. My concern for myself and the people that are affiliated with functional patterns and people that I care about is that I keep them alive long enough in this transition. So then when this technology, when scientists finally do wake up and say, damn, what are we doing? We will then be able to take, they'll make adjustments with the technology, start respecting nature, and eventually we'll move on into greener pastures. My concern right now is, are we going to survive long enough? Are you going to be able to survive the process of us reaching that eventual point? I think the singularity is eventually going to come, and it's a matter of us being like, okay, Are we capable of bridging the gap between biology and technology? Is that going to be bridgeable? Nobody's really asking that in tech. Nobody really gives a shit about that, because at the end of the day, tech companies are making billions and probably trillions of dollars. And at the end of the day, they're thinking, well, I'm not going to sacrifice that in the short term. But because of that, people are going to suffer horribly. And it may take another 2-3 decades. I'll say for myself, what I relate it back to is, what am I going to do for me? What am I going to, because at the end of the day, Adam, no animal says, I'm going to do this for the pack. I'm going to do this for the tribe. Nobody really ever does that. What we think about is, I'm going to do something for myself. I'm going to give the impression that I'm useful to other people, so that way I could still be a part of the tribe and I don't get eaten by lions. That's everybody is running, going, everybody is selfish. The mistake that I've made for myself in my life is I tend to underestimate human stupidity and think that people actually know better, and they don't know better. And at the end of the day, they may think that they're doing something for the greater good, but they're completely selfish in their mechanisms. And you can call me a cynic, but cynicism has its origins, and its origins are with a certain group of people who believed in a particular way. So there's nothing wrong with being a cynic. I myself used to think, man, I'm kind of cynical. I shouldn't be that way. It's like, no, just like you have a stoicism or whatever, you have cynicism. So I'm a cynic. I tend to believe that people are self-serving based upon what I view animals. My colleague and I were at the beach the other day, and there's a bunch of chickens out here in Hawaii. All over the place, there's chickens, and so they come to me. I love hanging out with chickens. I like animals just in general. They're cool to hang out with. They're cool to observe. And so I take some mango from the day before, and I start feeding to them. And then a chicken walks by with his little chicks, and dude, they are so fucking cute. They're just unbelievably adorable. And I'm watching them walk by. I'm like, oh God. And so I'm like, I got to feed the little chicks some food. I got to move all the other roosters. So I start strategizing. We both start strategizing so we can get the chicks some food. And so we give the mother some food so they can feed the chicks and there'll be more chickens. I'm like, you know, I want to do that because I feel so bad for these chicks. So I end up getting, I throw some food so the mother eats it, then I throw some mango so then the baby chick will eat it. And then you see one of the chicks, the little black chick that was there, it ends up taking the mango, and then the brothers and sisters, instead of them all sharing it, what does one chick do? It runs off with the mango, and it does the exact same thing that all the grown-up chickens do. So you observe nature, and you observe how long it took for us to get to where we're at and how quickly we've evolved ourselves, and you realize people are not going to be able to overcome their self-serving individuality. There's a reason individuality became popularized. There's a reason individuality dominated. It's because everybody tends to look at themselves as an individual. We can't look at ourselves as a collective. And there are people that are capable of doing that. I think some humans were smart enough 200-300 years ago to say, let's keep an objective mindset and look at things relevantly, and we'll have children. But in the midst of all that, there was a lot of people who had children who shouldn't have had children. You could say this all the way back 10,000 years ago, that we've been pretty much creating these genetic incompetence over the last 10,000 years. People who are they're bastardizations of what humans were 50,000 years ago. They're trash. We have this, you give everybody a trophy mentality, and we say everybody gets to make a pass. If it was up to me, I wouldn't allow everybody to have children, just like not everybody should be. Yeah, go ahead.
No, well, we ended up in a society, man, that did transform into what I've referenced many times as a front porch society into a back porch society. We got and developed communities that we used to sit on the front porch and wave at the people, right? It was a different community. It was based differently, similar values. You mentioned even before one of your first appearances on the show, that eventually technology would overcome the biomechanics. You said that a long time ago, that it would marry and you'd be out of the job and you'd have to figure out something, but we'd evolve to that. But like you said, there's also so many other, when you talk about the individual personas being caught in the way of some sort of social good, there's even more than that. When you work in nationalism, you work in the culture influences, religious influences, it's very easy to take a pessimistic view of what's happening and seeing where we need to get to in order to survive, right? And a lot of people, let's be honest, you don't want the mass vote. For the truth is, as if there were 100 people and 100 people voted, do you ask all 100, or are you kind of looking for the smart people on the group of the island to try to survive? Exactly. Right? I mean, it's survival to a basis. And I think you're right that we are trapped somewhere in the middle of some place that we probably may not even see that, like you talk about the artificial, the bonding there, we may not see the monkey side of us. Seems like we're going to destroy ourselves before we even get there because of those individual approaches, right? That no, this is my belief, yep, and I can have it, and this is my group. But those same beliefs we don't recognize that we think make us individuals actually cling us to a group. So in the idea of being an individual, right? I'm an individual and I'm this. No, you're still a part of this group session.
Well, what people realize is that there's origins behind this notion that I'm an individual, that I'm equal, that I'm free, and that these come, like, for the longest time, we weren't free. We didn't even have the doctrine of even potential equality from one person to the other. And then America comes along and it plants this seed in our heads that we're individuals, that we all have the capacity to become equal, and they're both delusional. If you start looking at all the old school texts where you start seeing like, oh yeah, you know, some people are born slaves, some people are born commoners, some people are born kings. That's just the way it is. And so obviously there's a flaw there, but we can't also say that everybody's equal. Equality, we can't say that all human beings are equal. We have to, at some point, we have to start, as a human species, if we want to make it, if we wanted to have a very, very shortcut way.
It's easy to acknowledge that when we talk sports, though, right? It's easy on Sunday to acknowledge your best, you know, your favorite football player is beyond human, right? When they do something, we can acknowledge a sports figure to be more than human and better at us that, you know, is superhuman. That's fine. But the fact is, all of us, if you're not on the field on Sunday, we're all normal. We're all the same. The idea, right? But you're right. I think if we flatten the human species to be the same, then we miss out on the geniuses, right? We miss out on the quirky ones that aren't good at this, but are amazing at this.
Well, look, I'll tell you this much right now, Adam. If it was up to me, in my company alone, I've had so many alpha males, or what would be kind of like self-appointed alpha males who wanted to come in and be like, look, I'm going to be the next guy that comes into FP and blah, blah, blah. It's like they come in with that mentality already when they don't realize that wasn't my mentality when I started. I came in with pains, with joint pain, and I tried to get the hell out of joint pain. I came in with depression and anxiety, and I tried to cure my anxiety. That's what's gotten me, put me down this path.
How's that worked out for the anxiety, bro?
Huh?
How's that worked out for the anxiety?
Doing FP and whatnot?
No, I'm fucking around because the shit that you deal with every day, man. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, bro, I'm fine. Now I'm good, bro. I'm not an anxious person anymore. I'm very tranquil. I've accepted the world around me, and I'm realizing people have to die, and it makes me feel good when I think that people are going to die because we're going to get space on this planet. The Earth is going to get to breathe, and nature is going to take its course. And the key point is that we've allowed people all over this planet to breed. I think if it was up to me, if I was Naudi, the president of the United States, I would be like, okay, we're going to impose new rules, new sanctions on people that are going to determine whether you're allowed to have children or not. For one, it's not about how many children you're allowed to have. It's, are you competent enough to raise a child? For one, let's measure your genes. Let's see how much damage you've done to yourself in your lifetime. Okay, you chose to eat hamburgers and french fries your whole fucking life. Now it's looking like these genes right here are starting to express, and you're going to end up with cancer, and you're going to pass those genes off onto your child, and your child has to bear with the problems of that shit. How much are you in front of a damn cell phone? What's the amount of electromagnetic frequencies that you've been living in, and you've chose to live in your life? Okay, you have this. You have a whole set of characteristics that a person begins to operate, and you say, okay, you know what? Maybe you can't have a child. We're going to let you have a dog. We're going to see how well behaved your dog is. Is it anxious? Do you have an anxious dog? Can you control the dog? Can you showcase that you're competent in being able to take care of this dog? If you are not, then you can't move on to having a child because you lost your chance at having a fucking dog.
Can you hear him already, right? There, no way you can't stop the freedom. But look, you need a license to fucking drive a car. So to take care of the what's considered the most precious thing on earth, I just need a few beers and I find the right person. And so, look, I wrote about this shit in college, man. I imagine that a more controversial, right? But my idea was at least have a license, right? Like at least go take a test. You know what I mean? At least have to go, you know how to feed it. You know how to hold it, right? Where to put it, how to lay it down at least, right? You can take you got to probably take some basic half an hour course or some bullshit they make you sit through for an hour. But I mean, literally, I even went as far one time when I said, look, if we did you were a class A, class B, C, D, and you got graded on your parenting. They showed up, evaluated what you've created, not necessarily what you provided, not measured on provided. Because trust me, there's a lot of rich kids out there fucked up. You know, their kids are screwing, their parents are screwing them up. But the idea is what you provide, emotional support, all this other stuff, and get graded, right? Now imagine you've been graded a D parent. Now your tax breaks are less, but now you've graded to be an A parent. You get tax breaks on the back end for grading out as a good parent, and something you got to take every look. They'll yell at a 78-year-old driver going, you need to be retested, and you pop out kid number five, right? And you couldn't afford the first three. And I get that. There needs to be some sort of responsibility, right? This trust that,
but it's never going to happen. I mean, all I'm doing is just bringing about a subjective thought in our minds.
We're both going to get bad emails. You know that, right? You know we're both going to get bad emails, right? Because it sounds like I'm supporting this shit.
Adam, you already know where I'm like, look, Adam, the way I see it like this, bro, the more stress I put on these monkeys and the more that I stress them out to want to obsess over all the things that I say, the sooner they're probably going to end up being wiped off the face of this earth, bro. So at the end of the day, I want people to get angry. I want them to get upset, because if you're upset by what I have to say, it means that you're attacked by relevance. Because anytime that I try and put forth, whenever I question people on their actual words or their motives, they can never give me a clear response. They never do give me a clear response. They completely avoid the subjects that I put forth. They don't want to address anything that I talk about. So what does that tell you? That these people, they got to go. I don't think I got to go, Adam. I think I can contribute. I think, look, and this is what I was going to bring about. It's like, look, dude, alpha male. Everybody wants to be a leader. Truthfully, there's nothing easier than following. There is nothing easier than following somebody. If somebody said, Naudi, you know what? I want to take over and do all this kind of crazy shit, and I can show you the way. Guess what I'm going to do, Adam? I'll be like, oh, so you're going to solve all the problems, and all you have to do is, all I have to focus on tomorrow is just waking up and taking your instructions, and then I just follow through on something that's going to work. I'll do that in 2 seconds, but it doesn't work that way. And I think there's too many people that have had too many kids that shouldn't have had kids. It's if in one way or the other, pleasing your parents, and that's the reason, if pleasing your parents is a reason for you to have children, automatically you shouldn't have kids. If pleasing your friends.
No, right now, you're hitting on so many concrete beliefs right now. That, look, I always tell people, if your response to anybody or anything is immediately no, oh, hell no, start there. Start by questioning that why and why you feel that way. And look, you're not saying anything I haven't heard people say off the cuff over a couple of drinks, to where they've laughed about it.
I just say it in front of a camera, bro. That's the difference. I don't give a shit. Yeah.
If I threw a camera in 6 out of the 10 cars on the freeway in L.A., at 5 p.m., somebody's saying that shit, right? Bill Burr does a great stand-up about it, man. But the idea is we really look at that, because I have those thoughts. You look around you. I watched a mom the other day start screaming at her 3-year-old, and she's like, I will beat your ass, you know, saying really loud, just a lot of verbal threatening. And I'm just – and she's got 3 kids around her in that one. And I'm like, man, I felt bad for her for one, you know, but, and Eddie Vedder actually has a line in one of his songs.
You know who I feel bad for more than her, bro?
The kid.
I don't feel bad for the kid. You know who I really feel bad for? Me. Because out of every, so there's two different types of people in this world, bro. There's people that are parasites on society, and I hate to sound real Republican here, but I'm going to probably end up sounding Republican, but that's not my intent. There's people who are parasites on society who leech off of, who pretty much create problems. And there's a great majority of people that do that. And then there's people like me that pop in every once in a while that are like, okay, how do I balance all you idiots out? Like, what do I do to create structure so you idiots don't completely kill yourself and invariably end up hurting me or robbing my ass? So it's like, you end up, what I've kind of come to realize that I'm one of those people all the time. So when that lady has those 3 fucking kids, and I'm one day I was at the airport, and there's this lady with her daughter. She's got 2 daughters, and her daughters are running around all over the place, just screaming all over the place. And these people are like, you know, I'm on vacation. It'd be nice to get a little bit of peace and quiet and whatnot. And this lady's all just smiling, going, I have 2 daughters. I'm just so happy that my daughters are happy. They think I'm nice and all that. And I'm looking at the 100 people right there waiting at the plane. At least 75% of them are just, I could probably interview them. They'd be like, God, those fucking kids are annoying. They are driving me nuts. I can't deal with these kids. I can't even begin to tell you how annoyed I am by the fact that we have those kids, that that lady has those kids. And that lady's getting to fulfill this stupid little delusion of having those children. And because she gets to do that, the rest of us have to deal with that kind of shit. Now some people just sit there and deal with it during that time. And then some of us try and say, what's the root cause of that freaking problem? What is the root of that? And then you begin to realize that not only is that person just a problem to every individual person, but that person represents 100,000 problems for a motherfucker like me. That's what ends up becoming the issue, because I'm like, damn, how do I help these people? What do I do? And after a certain point, Adam, again, it comes back down to this, because this is going to be the general theme of my life probably from this point on. People need to fucking die. And that's what I want to, what I want to push forward on this thing. It's like, no matter what we do in this society, I'm just beginning to realize it's like, there's a certain limit to which people can become cognizant of their own behaviors, and there's a certain limit as to how much they're going to be able to change those fucking behaviors, man. And really, the main point that I want to drive home, because I only got about another 15 minutes here, is I am all about population control, and I want to see people need to die. But sorry, you were going on about something. I had interrupted you. Sorry, Adam.
No, I was talking about Eddie Vedder has a line in a song where he says, it's a song of the politician, actually a remake of Bob Dylan's song, Masters of War. And he says, how dare you bring the worst fear in the world, the fear to bring children into this world. And for myself, for my daughter, and you know, when you think about having another child, if the thought crosses your mind where you go, oh man, what kind of fucked up world am I bringing them into? No, we'll do it different. People I don't think can really deny that thought really goes to their head, right? I mean, I think about my daughter who's 17. She has not been alive 1 year that we have not been at war. Now, I mean, to tell my daughter that,
how crazy is that?
Or she was realizing that. We were talking in the car last week, and I'm like, you know, you haven't been alive. We've been at war since you've been born. And she's like, wow. But it's not in our land, right? It's not in our eyes. It's out of her mind, right? And what's really happening, what we really see, and where we see water, food, all the future, it's hard not, man, to look at the chessboard and go, shit, man, some old scripture, other scripture, Bible speaks to something like this, and so does the Quran, right? They all speak to an ending of something like that. And it's hard not to back up and go, fuck. Well, it's written right there, and it's hard not to see that is coming, right? And I think that is one of the worst fears, right?
But see, the problem is that it's not a fear-based thing, Adam. It's a good thing. You know how people always talk about positive mentalities? I know you've seen how much people want to throw that bullshit on me. I think it's positive to look at people who are suffering and just saying, you know what, they're going to die. They're going to pass over to the other side, and that be it. I don't think that we have to carry – because I've been reading that book, Sapiens, and I have a few other people who've read the book, and they're like, doesn't that book kind of just give you make you just feel helpless to what's going on? I'm like, no, it's one of the most liberating pieces of literature I've read, just simply because I'm looking at it going, damn, okay, there's hope. And the hope is that people are going to die. That's just what ends up happening. People are choosing at some level to continue to keep fulfilling the empirical origins of their, I guess, their conditioning. They're still choosing to abide by that. So it's got the candle has to burn out in some way or the other. That's what I see it as. So my perception is like, I think people shouldn't carry such a negative outlook on that. My perception is like, if somebody says, Naudi, I disagree with your perspectives on deadlifts, I'm going to be like, great. Do more deadlifts. Do 10 times more deadlifts and show me how deadlifts don't hurt your lower back, and prove me wrong by doing 10 times more deadlifts than you do currently, so that way you can just keep proving me wrong. Because I already know what's going to happen, Adam. I already understand what that is. But the sooner that we can push them to that point, the sooner we can move past this notion that all people are equal, that everybody should be entitled to have kids, everybody should be entitled to have a dog, that everybody should get equal pay. And this is another thing that's driven me nuts. Being a business owner, being an entrepreneur, I don't think that, like, a big problem that I have with millennials is their huge willingness to want to shoot down corporate institutions because they're corrupt. I don't know if I maybe mentioned this on a podcast or not, but you know what 24-hour fitness was doing at their origins, bro? Like maybe about when they started doing personal training, you know what their goals were about like 10, 15 years ago? 24-Hour Fitness's goals were to bring about the best trainers on the entire planet. And you know how they would do that? They would set it up this way, that you would have a five-day course where you'd get certified with them. 5 days they would spend with you breaking down fundamental concepts like myofascial release, posture, corrective exercise, all this shit. I mean, to the degree that which they were teaching, it wasn't any good, but because they'd be teaching you like foam rolling and crap like that. But the fact that they took 5 days of that, 5 days out of their life to show that, they would pay for your hotel because you'd have to go somewhere. They would pay for, no, they wouldn't pay for your hotel, but they would at least pay for your gas to go to back and forth. They actually helped pay for your hotel too, to get you over there. And then, and they had like, you know, there'd be like 100 people per group. They would do that, and then you'd go back to work. You wouldn't be training anybody for 5 to 6 weeks. You would just be shadowing, just because they wanted to make sure that they had a really, really high quality standards, right? And you know what people started doing at them? They, with those 5 day courses, they were giving out certifications to each one of the trainers. And what did 24-Hour Fitness eventually have to do? They had to stop giving out the certifications because people would just pop in, take the certification course, and then bounce on 24-Hour Fitness and say, "Okay, thanks for the credential, bro. Peace." They would just bounce. So the issue reverts back to, bro, that people in our culture are willing to just want to point fingers at everybody, right? If I was president of the United States, guess what? What do you think? You guess, Adam. What do you think my tagline would be for my presidency?
Talk to me.
I'd be, get your shit together, people. You're all a bunch of losers. You're all a bunch of losers. You're all complaining about how the system is fucking you over, and you live like a bunch of fucking bums most of your life. This is your dilemma. White people in this country who are racist, blaming Mexicans for their shortcomings, are lazy pieces of crap who don't get to work, who are lazy as hell, who don't want to compete, and they're butthurt, and because they can't keep up with the competition, now they got to blame somebody for some bullshit. Mexicans complaining about white people, say, "Hey, bro, stop killing each other. Stop behaving like complete nonsensical idiots. Stop changing all that." I would, if I was president, I would be like, "Look, dude, get your shit together, people." I'd be taking the JFK approach. It's not what your country can do for you; it's what you can do for your country. Obviously, I'd take it a step further and say, "What can you do for the damn planet?" But at the end of the day, Adam, everything that I'm talking about is philosophical because people aren't going to pick up on it. Everybody's so quick to want to point fingers at the corporation. You realize how many people I got to keep employed through functional patterns and how much money – if people knew how much money it takes for me to keep this company afloat, they would be like, "Damn, Nadi, you are a fucking Zen master, bro. You are a Zen master considering what you're up against, the money you have to make, the people you have to keep employed who rely upon you to make a living on a regular basis. And then on top of that, you got to talk about changing the planet and then stimulating people's minds to think differently. That's what I'm up against." And you know what's very problematic, what's very troublesome to me, is that most of these people that are on that left-wing side, they all do yoga, they all do this stupid shit, and they're incapable of accepting. What were we talking about the other day, Adam? Competence, right? My tagline would be, "You're all incompetent. You need to learn to become competent. I'm going to try and do whatever I can to help you guys be competent." But at the end of the day, bro, people don't want to accept that shit, Adam. And it's an unfortunate truth. And again, this is what it always reverts back down to me. I'm sitting here and spinning in circles discussing what we need to do in society and talking about the problems, but it's already too late. Fortunately, the death of humanity is not going to come by war. It's going to come by GMOs. It's going to come by EMFs. It's going to come by sound pollution, light pollution. It's going to come by poor biomechanics. It's going to come by psychological disorders. It's going to come full circle into a whole assortment of it's this concoction of crap that everybody's ingesting. And guess what's going to kill people, Adam? It's going to be beautiful. You know what it's going to be? Illness, disease. If toxicity was already killing people at the rate that it is, what happens when you throw toxicity plus light pollution, light flicker, right? What happens when you throw that into the equation with 5G speeds everywhere you can imagine in the city? And what happens when everybody moves into the city because they can't live in small towns anymore and everybody's exposed to that? What I call that, Adam Lowry, I call that utopia. That's what I see it as. I call it utopia because it's going to be the foundation to an entirely beautiful new planet where we're going to have a whole lot less fucking people on it, which is something I'm thoroughly looking forward to, bro. I just kind of come to realize that it's like, as much as I want to even go out and do videos and do all that kind of crap, which I am, I'm still going to educate people because there's people that understand what I'm saying. They feel the same way that I do. And they're like, "I'm tired of watching people spin in circles, repeating the same problems." So I'm still going to do my part. But at the end of the day, In terms of actually trying to convince idiots, I was trying to do this. I was thinking, if you can't convince the idiots, then how are you going to make a more sustainable world? And I've just come to realize that the easiest solution is, bro, that these people just all got to fucking die. And everything that we're discussing is irrelevant. And the whole thing is, people are too stupid to know better, and they just need to die. They got to go, man. And again, I sorry if I keep repeating that same thing over and over again. I'm just kind of trying to start a new trend here. That death 2020. Cancer 2020, heart disease 2020, autism 2020. Every time I see an autistic kid with some parent jamming a fucking screen in front of their face, do you think I cringe at that, Adam, or what do you think I do? I got a smile from ear to ear going, yes. That means that kid's not going to produce anything else beyond that. It's unfortunate I have to carry that mindset, bro, but it's really how I feel. And I have to just be honest with the way that I am, bro.
Well, there's a lot of people that walk Walmart at 7, you know, a.m. or 5 a.m. and may think the same thing when we walk about. We all have these thoughts, man, for sure. And, you know, science is the problem, Adam.
This is the problem, bro, is that people say that when they see Walmart. You know where I see that? Everywhere I go. I see that when I walk into Whole Foods with people who think they're actually doing something healthy for themselves. Take it to that level. Where it's like, it's not, I look at the people that are supposedly doing yoga and Pilates and natural movement that are supposedly trying to do good things for themselves, who are poisoning the shit out of themselves with their mindsets, with their behaviors, with their postural distortions and whatnot. It was
bringing in the mass idea that, for the most part, to not be too irrational, that everyone has the thought that you're talking about from time to time. Some people have it at this certain time when they're driving down the wrong road at the wrong time and they're looking out the window going, shit, you know, what's it come to? My point is, as a mass whole, we all, I think, have that thought once in a while of going, man, what's the world coming to, right? We may say in the privacy of our own home or at the dinner tables, but we all have these thoughts and the ideas. And science would even back you up on this right now, at least give you a little hope, man. The birth rates are dramatically lower. They haven't been this low since 1909. You see in Japan, they're pretty much ceasing to have kids or even sexual relations. This is the first time, actually, even in the U.S., where sexual intercourse and full-on sexual activity in teenagers is on the low. Trust me, Dad knows those statistics. And that's on the low and lower than we've ever seen. So there's even a service now in China where you can rent a boyfriend or a girlfriend for X amount of time to get the experience, and then simply in the contract of the rental, and the boyfriend or girlfriend goes home. So we're seeing the detachment. We're seeing the – it's true. We're seeing the lower birth rates. I mean
– It's true. You have to pop that in. It's true. Yeah, it's, my Lord. Wow, that's incredible.
There's machines in China you can walk right up to and donate sperm to it as a constant thing it gets trippy. So we see ourselves pulling more and more away from the physical affection, the romance, the touch. You're seeing that go away anyway. So on the back end, look, if we all want to believe, right, let's just add it into this. If we think nature is going to take its course and how we end it naturally evolves, well, guess what? If this is happening, maybe as a whole, we see that, holy shit, we can't reproduce right now. We got shit to fix. We got shit to worry about, and at least I'll use Bill Burr's line.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, Adam, I don't think people are deciding that. Go ahead.
I got to use Bill Burr's line, man. Just think about it. If it is depopulated, I think in the joke he says, we'll get it down about 30,000 or so. He's like, then everybody can drive a tank. You know, you shoot the bald eagle out of the air because it shit on your tank. And look, one third of us get to play in the Super Bowl. Everybody's going. Everybody gets a part to play. You can hold the first down marker or whatever, right? So – look, we worry about it. Look, and we can take I'll take a serious stab with you to help you kind of open the whole chessboard to everybody is, you know, when we have families, right, we're quick to be protective of our family, right? When our kids, our loved one, our wife, right? You tend to protect and then fuck everybody else, right? So if you can imagine what we call families all driving around in the United States, really going, fuck you, I'm taking care of mine. Get out of my way, right? Driving, we're all protecting our little bubbles. And with this idea, you spoke about just crossing over technology and biomechanics and biology, dude, to get through nationalism, and even the cultural influences of my family before yours, you know, we can't see past just those dogmas, man, to even imagine that we could operate together. And perhaps, you know, maybe the religious right would back you up here by saying, yeah, we know how it ends. It's there, right? So it's a scary thing, man, for sure.
I just think that people need to stop speaking about it in a more positive context. Saying, well, thank God people are going to die. I just think it shouldn't be deemed as cynical because I say these things. And which is what I find. I can imagine a lot of people probably listening to me being like, Jesus, now he has just gone off the deep end. I need to be like, no, guys, it's a good thing.
Yeah, but
it's
dude, like, it's when they're in the car, when they're in the car Monday at 8:30 in the morning and they're pissed off and that dude doesn't ask to merge and just goes off. Trust me, the motherfucker's saying the same shit. He's looking at all the stupid people driving and don't know how to merge and make traffic. They're cursing them out the same way. So if they want to hang you up to be the bad boy to do so, then okay. We have these.
Well, I'm glad they're going through that, bro. I'm glad they're going through that. We need more of it. Personally, that's just the way I see it, bro. That's my perception of life. And guys, for the people that are viewing this and say, you know, now he's gone off the deep end and he's freaking gone nuts. It's not that I've gone nuts, guys. It just, I'm the kind of guy that has carried this inherent guilt that because I'm a third world Mexican living in first world America. So my parents intentionally would take me to very poor places in Mexico so they could be like, yeah, fool, you could be like that real quick. And I know most of you white boys in America aren't used to that. You're used to, okay, I've never seen people really fully suffer like what these people are. And so at some point, I'm raised with this guilt that you guys aren't raised with. And so for me, I'm learning to be like white people in America. I'm learning to be like Americans. How to become...
You're a trip, man.
Yeah, I'm learning to become like... Just gonna look around at everything and be like, yeah, whatever, they're beneath me. So I'm learning to be like you guys. So the only difference is that I'm at least speaking out on it. So I'm like, that's really what it boils down to, dog. I'm learning how to be a white boy in America. And it's like, and the irony in all this is that I'm learning to be a white boy in America by going out in the sun and tanning myself. I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but I'm much more tan than what I used to be. And I'm
Those glasses are a step there. You just need some loafers and tuck in your shirt with a dolphin belt or some shit. You know what I mean? Some little loafers, and you got to get one of them fish belts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. But yeah, this experience is fascinating. I got to say, it's incredible the times that we're living in. And I'm thoroughly happy with the direction that things are going with our society. And it's not because I just think of how many people want to live on the equator. A lot of people want to live. We could say that, you know what, we could house most people on this planet, but how many people want to live in uninhabitable or like environments where the weather is probably not all that great? Everybody wants to live on the equator. And if everybody wanted to live on the equator, guess what we'd probably end up having to do? We'd probably have to wipe out a lot of our species to make that happen.
I don't know.
My perception is
some of the Minnesotans and Michigans and them Chicagoans, you know, buddy, they take that negative 40 and call it natural. Nobody's supposed to fucking live there, man. When it's negative 30.
How many people are going to want to live there? So I think about even if we had a Venus Project society right now, Adam, and I'm like, 7 billion people on a Venus Project? I don't know, man. I don't know. I guess we'd have to create islands on the equator and shit. Because at the end of the day, if I want a tropical, that's why I tell you, Adam, my notions of living in a place like Hawaii seem like the reason I moved to Seattle, because I'm like, I have to be miserable. Because you know what? Most people on the planet are miserable. And at the end of the day, even if you gave them the opportunity to not be miserable, guess what they would choose to still fucking be, bro? They're still going to be miserable. So it's like, at the end of the day, for anybody who's watching this, if there's anything you're going to take out of the message that I have to say, who the hell knows? I really don't care. I just very much wanted to convey the message that I'm glad people are fucking dying and I'm having a great time watching this freak show take its course. And, you know, I'm glad there's people like Bill Burr and George Carlin who can at least pave the way to start talking about this. That, you know what? It's a good thing that people are fucking dying. It's a good thing that global warming is happening and that there's problems happening. It's a good, because it's going to force us to acknowledge what the fuck we're actually doing to this planet. All I hope for is that I'm going to survive through the midst of all of it. All I know is that I'm increasing the likelihood of surviving through all this. And I know most of you fucking idiots have no idea what you're even doing to increase the survival. So really, I had no real intent of making anybody learn. Really, at the end of the day, Adam, I just wanted to let everybody know that I'm real happy that people are going to die on this fucking planet.
Well, man, to follow that one, I would have to bring you back to man. Look, a lot of people imagine or think about these things for real, man. And 7 billion, you would be right, to try to sustain something like that or think that it would work out that way anyway. It's hard not to be, I think, a cynic when we look at what's really happening. Shit, skim social media, watch your local news. I just learned last night that, 98-something% of all local news is ran by this one company. I think it's called Sinclair. And they send out targeted messages through local news, man. When you start to see how wrapped up this shit is, man, it's hard not to just kind of lay back and say, wow, I'll just watch this go up, man.
Yeah, for anybody out there who thinks there's going to be any hope of that somehow positive. Again, this is, I'm kind of taking more digs at people that this power of positivity movement that doesn't even realize that Oprah Winfrey is the one that really popularized this crap. It's that they're thinking that somehow, and they've been talking about this, honestly, Adam, for like the last 10 years, 12 years. And it's unfortunate that within that time, we did have like, you know, a Venus Project concept pushed into society around the same time. And in the midst of during that time, what's everybody been pushing? That if we all just have positive outlets or positive outlooks on the life and we follow what the secret says, or if we listen to what Eckhart Tolle says, then we'll sprout a better world. And it doesn't look like that's happening. So at the end of the day, it's like,
maybe inside everybody is still that Monday morning driver. Maybe the truth is, the secret is, the beneath all that bullshit of wanting to help others, maybe beneath all that, like you said, mm-hmm. the secret, because the belief really is how can I help myself and fuck everybody else? And maybe that's why that's what's manifesting, because that's the secret belief inside most exactly. of the masses.
Exactly. So really, at the end of the day, Adam, I'm just really happy to see that all those people who believed in that bullshit 10, 11 years ago when I was saying it was bullshit are getting theirs now. Their kids are ending up very ill, or they're not able to have children. It's not because of their decision. It's, I'm sure a lot of them it is because of a decision, but many of them are trying and they just can't do it. And I'm just saying I'm glad that nature makes sense. That's really what I've gathered out of this awakening that I've had getting out into nature myself, Adam, is that nature has clear rules. That's maybe something you guys can learn from this podcast. Who the hell knows? But nature has clear rules. And unless we abide in some way, shape, or form to those rules, there's going to be consequences. And all those people who are out in nature saying, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to go on nature, but then I'm going to go work in tech. And I'm going to be stressed out. And I'm going to buy this ridiculous house and all that. But, I do yoga. I meditate and all this, be like, yeah, your kids have autism. Isn't that interesting? That meditation wasn't enough to compensate for all the fucking toxicity everywhere. Even your diet wasn't enough and you still can't have children. It's good to see, Adam, that nature works. And that, you know what, if I abide by nature while all these other idiots don't abide by nature, that at least I have a good chance of surviving while they're all going to die.
Well, you mentioned something there, though, that's really imperative. That's something I can latch on to even, is that when you operate within nature and you take advantage of her, when you cause a blip in her, if you will, it has to balance out, right? Buddy says in Jurassic Park, nature always finds a way, right? So she will balance herself out. And I'm Native American, so I'm referencing her as her and Mother Earth. But, you know, nature will find a way. And if you take all of the oil, if you balance it all out, you become a polluter. On that, well, then perhaps the earth will treat you like a bacteria or a virus inside the human body, right? We have white blood cells that attack those things that begin to eat our cells away. Well, if we're all cells and living cells and we're on a living cell organism and we begin to eat that away and cause the problem, well, I would not doubt Mother Earth would have a way to clean that up, because she's here forever. So if it takes 85,000 hurricanes and weather changing before it's all over, or we poison ourselves, we may not. Look, Carlin had it right. We are not going to destroy Mother Earth. She's going to laugh at us all the way, and we're going to be gone. We may not be able to live here, but the rock's still going to be fucking spinning here, and we're just not going to be able to live in it. I mean, he even references in a stand-up, maybe our only purpose was to bring plastic in existence for Mother Earth to evolve into something. Right. Maybe. You know, it's a difficult thing to see, man. And, you know,
Here's something that I want to bring up, Adam,
yeah.
Because people are going to think, man, nowadays that can't be a healthy mentality that Naudi can have. Like, that can't be healthy. It's got to be unhealthy. It's not good psychologically for him to think that way. It's very toxic. Here's something to ponder, folks. This is something that I got again from Sapiens. I got to give this guy some credit for the research, the things that he's been reading and bringing about. But Yuval Harari is an interesting name. But he starts bringing about this whole notion that, you know, we think that we were in some way or shape or form in union with nature, that we respected other animals, that we were respectful towards plants and whatnot. I didn't even know this, and I thought I was a fairly astute learner of human history and whatnot. But we intentionally would burn down entire forests for the sake of clearing all out all animals, all species that were in there that could potentially hurt us. And then whatever would sprout out of that is what we would end up using. We would eat all the animals that were there. We have caused so many extinctions in our lifetime or in the lifetime of the human organism. And you know what the crazy part is? Most of that happened when we were the healthiest we ever were. We were the healthiest about 50,000 years ago when we were wiping out most species on the planet. 50,000 years ago was the time that we were the healthiest. So what I've learned is that you can carry these inherent contradictions within yourself. You can treat the environment to some degree or the other like shit. You can treat other people like shit or treat other organisms and not care. And the case, and it's not going to affect your health. People may think now he's carrying the cynical mindset and it's bad for him that he's going to carry the cynical mindset, but they don't understand that the healthiest humans were some of the most destructive in our entire history. We wiped out most large species about 50,000 years ago. That's when we wiped out most big species on the planet. We were doing that like freaking crazy, burning down entire forests. This is what we've been doing, folks. This is what it is. So all this positive imagery, all this positive mindset, don't be negative. You guys are fucking stupid. You're retarded. And I'm sorry for going and bringing back those words again, but I have to say you guys don't know what you're talking about. If you actually look at the history of when we were the healthiest, when we were the strongest, when we were superhumans relative to today's standards, where we were all Usain Bolts, we were completely delusional. We didn't even give a rat's ass about the environment. We didn't give a shit about it. So at the end of the day, all I'm trying to do is bring about this new realization for people that fortunately all these positive mindset idiots are going to actually get wiped out because they assume that a positive mindset was going to override a toxic environment. And clearly, as we're seeing the signs popping out now, that's not the case. Now there's going to be a new mentality. This is a new mentality where we go back into being hopefully objective like people 50,000 years ago were, where there's like, okay, we have these crazy animals, nature can kill us, and we need to find out what we need to do to survive. We need to figure things out. That's where we're at this stage. For those of us that survive, you're probably going to be listening to this podcast. You're going to be more inclined to survive. If you're offended by what I have to say, by all means, I tell you, and this is going to be my disclaimer for everybody, go back and do whatever. I advise you that when you go back to your regular world, go do more meditation. Go do 10 times more yoga. Please do 10 times more yoga. Watch 30 times more conspiracy theory documentaries. Go read The Secret 50 more times. Go eat your organic foods. Go back and do everything that you do. Go back and do everything that we do. So that way you push yourself to the path that nature already has set for you. For the people that aren't offended by what I say and the ones that are like, man, I'm glad somebody's saying this shit. Guys, we're going to make it together and we're going to fucking start a way better society, hopefully here in the next 10, 15 decades. And that's the silver lining in this all, that a lot of idiots are going to die, folks. And thank fucking goodness humans, we pushed ourselves to this spectrum and now it's time that we pay the price. And man, am I happy to start looking around at everybody paying the fucking price.
Well, that's where I point to a lot of people that argue a lot of different views, religious views, etc. I just kind of say we need only look in the mirror, right? That's the V for Vendetta line too, is that we allowed the system, we allowed the corruption, we still continue to allow and do nothing about. And we can continue to stay blind to what it is, right? And accept that.
And suffer from it and die from it and then become incapable of making children and leaving our DNA exactly where the fuck it's at. So if you guys keep choosing to do that, by all means, keep doing it. Keep doing it. It's good. It's good for me. Please. I want space. I'd like to know that there's not a bunch of people all over here. Please. Before I used to say, you know what? Get your shit together. Don't get your shit together. By all means, keep consuming.
Yeah, part of why I rewrote the book too was emphasis, because it comes across as if I'm a straight cognitive practitioner, and really the idea was rampaging in all fields, saying it's everyone needs to work together. It's not one or the other. It's about including all of that in any kind of change. And I wrote in the book at first that, you know, I took the cognitive approach, right? Reframing the positive mind state, but all of this becomes subjective, right? It's all written up to a subjective idea. What's positive? What's negative? So for me, I even wrote to back up what you're saying, is that we can change and reframe how we think and some outlook we believe to be the definition of what we perceive as positive, but that only lasts for so long. That can help in the moment, but eventually the epigenetic effect, the environment, will overtake you. I mean, I learned so much from that. To me, I added to my own life philosophy that the environment will give back. Trust that. And so you can sit there in your shit environment and go, I'm the best. This is great. Or be rational if you want to. But eventually that shit you're sitting in is going to win. And that's what I think a lot of people don't want to see. They are also, they're taught, right? Build your backyard, have the big backyard, take care of yourself. Don't look up. Just do what you're supposed to do. Take care of your family. And a lot of times the sad part for me is a lot of people believe what they're doing is what's necessary by building that back fence metaphorically.
But you think it's sad. I don't think it's sad.
I know.
I think it's good.
I got you.
But see, that's what I'm saying, is that if people took a more positive mindset and they said those people are going to die off and they're not going to be living in misery anymore. They're not going to be suffering every day of their damn life. It's not sad. It's good.
Yeah.
That's what well, people aren't even living.
I got you. If you're putting the one that has the I'm being tortured mind state, then you're putting them out of that torture. But remember, they're on the blue pill, right? So they believe the fantasy that they're living.
But they're not, bro. At a certain level, Adam,
you think they know?
Their liver, they're aware of 1/100 millionth of what's going on. But their liver is another part of that 1/100 millionth that's going on, and their heart is going through some of that. Their cells are going through a certain state. They think that blue pill is there. If you have to be doped up on alcohol and smoking weed and doing all these drugs on a regular basis, you're suffering. That's suffering.
Or trying to adapt to the fucked up environment and then trying to assist one's own environment to adjust the best one can.
Now imagine you're going to have a kid you're about to have a kid and then it's in utero. And then you realize that kid's going to become mentally disabled. And then you have to have an abortion. Then I'm like, oh, you get to pay for that, bud. All that stupid shit you did, you thought it was all by chance, that it's all genetic, that it's all passed down. Nope, sorry. It's because of the decisions that you made at some point that you're going to pay
the ownership.
For that. So at the end of the day, it's going to stop. That's the beauty of it. There's going to be finality to all this bullshit. And why? Because nature is just, she's beautiful, and that's all she allows for is relevant behaviors. So that's the dictatorship that people don't want to buy into. Mm. And you know what? Thank goodness they're not. We need space. We really, really need space, whether it's in the first world, the third world. I don't give a shit anymore. So if there's my main angle is going to be from this point on, Adam, is to agitate the people that are like into the Wim Hof community, agitate people that are in the yoga community, which are pretty much the same shit, agitate people who are in the new age people, right? And it's always fascinated me how new age people have always gone into this hippie, corny bullshit route where they still take selfies of themselves, but they're spiritual selfie takers. But they never wanted to go down this path of functionality, functional patterns, that there's never an intertwining path. The few things because I'm sorry, Adam, no cold immersions and no breathing is going to save people from the issues that they're dealing with. That's the bottom line. There's no ways around it. It's way deeper than just fucking breathing, doing some yoga stretches, and then getting inside of a cold immersion tank.
That I can get behind, man. I wish I had the article, man. I read it and looked up a couple other things. But the idea is it was weighing how many years you actually added to your life by eating organic and clean over the years. And it was some measly like 2.25 years is what you added. And I thought, well, fuck, I wonder if they could even account for the stress it was to eat that good that long and how much you had to think about it and worry about it if you average that shit in. And I remember reading that going, damn, 2.5 years, fuck, just the drama shit I went through in my teens, I'm not going to see those last couple of years anyway. I said, I'm going to be lucky if I see them.
And odds are, how are those two? Well, the one thing they're not accounting for is what's the quality of those 2 years that you're living in opposed to a person that is eating inorganic. So it's like, there's a silver lining to that. Yeah, maybe you only get 2 years more, but the 10 or 15 years that preceded that also accompanied with less like byproducts of inefficiency, like, you know, headaches and constipation and freaking all sorts of different symptoms, rashes and whatnot.
So the quality
maybe those people had less.
Yeah, the quality of life. You may add 2 years longer, but also lived a little bit better quality of life for 20 years. You weren't buying Tums every other day.
I would doubt it, because most people that are on organic diets usually have food sensitivities and shit like that. And I think people who are going on an inorganic diet are probably eating Taco Bell and enjoying the shit out of it and going through the same symptoms. Like I said, Adam, people think that there's a formula to success in life. They have no idea what that formula even is. And I've been given them a formula. I have functional patterns as a formula to becoming a successful human, and it's being willing to adopt multiple different principles that exist. And it's like, obviously we orient much of what we do around biomechanics, but at the end of the day, man, there's so many factors that I incorporate in functional patterns. I'm a generalist. I'm not a specific, I call myself a human biomechanics specialist. Why? For the sake of having a freaking title. And so people will just get off my ass. But other than that, there is no specific thing that I do, but that's how people take it. They figure, well, that's just biomechanics, whatever. I'm like, perfect. You guys can take it all you want. Really. I know there's going to be a lot of these people, these hippie people that watch this. Just realize there's consequences for what you do. And just because you say you respect nature doesn't mean that you actually respect nature. If you don't even understand how fucking nature works, if you don't even observe the way nature works, you're not going to figure it out, bud. And there's going to be consequences for the shit that you do. So that's really like my closing statement right now. There's consequences for every action that we take. And thank goodness. Thank goodness that there's consequences, Adam. How about that, Adam? Most of the time when people go have some kind of big awakening and they go on to nature, what do they say? You know, I had to just learn to listen to my heart. And my heart told me that I needed to be more positive, and I needed to. It turns out what I learned, Adam, out of spending time in some seclusion and learning about myself and learning about the world around me, my come to the light moment, guess what it was? Fucking people need to die, and thank God. Jesus Christ. That's what nature brought out of me. And you know what? Nietzsche said that all your problems will get solved in nature. Well, there you go. So all the naturalists who say, you know what? Now he just needs to get out into nature. He needs to get out into nature more. Blah. I've been in nature more than I've ever had in my entire life. And these are the conclusions that I've come to. I want to see you motherfuckers die. And please don't listen to me. Keep going back down to the path that you do. Anybody who watches my podcast or our podcast together, keep following down the path. Just realize nature communicated to me, God. You know what? Let's say God. Let me, just for the sake of making it sound more ridiculous, God talked to me and he said people need to die. That's what God told Naughty Aguilar. That's what the burning bush told Naughty Aguilar. People need to die. And I'm happy that I've come to these realizations, Adam, because I'm much healthier for it.
Welcome back to the Cognitive Rampage podcast, bro. Jesus. Oh, boy. All right, man. I love you. I still love you. Hey, bro. I still love you.
I can't. You know, I can't. That word is. I'm sorry, Adam, but that word is fucking irrelevant. But I mean, remember, love is not going to solve shit. We need to get our shit together.
It makes me feel good in the moment, motherfucker. So I'm going to tell you I love you. I'm going to tell everybody else I love them too. So damn it. That makes me feel good in the moment. Don't take my moment.
Yeah, but that may be doing damage. That word love may make you feel good on a superficial level, but it may be doing damage on a deeper level. Maybe your liver, maybe some organ may be getting damaged every time you say that because you're like, there's a contradiction. I'm completely, sure.
Hey, I'm
completely I'm, subjective. What I'm saying, Adam, is off. Completely subjective.
I'm trading it off. I'm willing to trade that shit off. I'm trading it off, man. I don't give a fuck. As much damage as I did in my body when I was a kid.
Hey, that's real. That's real. I appreciate that. I love what you're saying. Hey, man, it's a trade-off. If it makes me feel good and you're accepting it as such, hey, man, that's respect. Because at least most people sure as fuck won't say that. So my perception is I'm trying to do the best, the least compensation I can in my life, because I know there's consequences to life, and thank God there are, bro. Like I said, I'm glad I've faced consequences in life. I've got to deal with my trials and tribulations and that I'm learning. But I'm more glad that people are going through trials and tribulations and they're not learning. And I'm even happier to know that this area, hopefully, where I'm staying at right now, is going to have hopefully half the people in the next 10 years and even less than that in the next 20, 30 years when technology gets a hold of their bitch asses. I couldn't be happier to know that that's going to be an eventual possibility for people.
Hey, I love you, dog.
Just trying to be positive, Adam. I'm just trying to be positive, bro. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to be a more positive. I went to nature. I connected with nature and I'm like, wow, you know? Yeah, people need to die. That's what I gather from nature. So for all you naturalists that say, you know, Naughty is just disconnected from nature. No, I've been in the sun all day, dude. I'm sunbathing. I'm consuming high amounts of DHA. I am connecting to nature. And what did Naughty conclude?
I can't help but laugh at your shit, man. I can't help but laugh at your ass, man, because I know what level you're doing your shit on, man. And I know, oh, man, you're good. Yeah, all right. Yeah,
you get it. You get it. Yeah. But most of these people won't, Doug.
Oh, That's right. Well, then, how about this, man?
It's my evolution. Maybe one day I'll be positive and I'll be meditating at him. Maybe one day. But anyway, bro, take care. Thank you very much for having me on, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Fuck you, man.
And fuck you, too. Take care.